dismiss the kids to kids' church, and so now it's time. Are you ready? The title of my message today is The First Song of Christmas. And one of the it's got to be one of my favorite things about Christmas has to be the music of Christmas. And that's not unusual because I'm a musical type person. I like music. But I just love the Christmas music. And there's so many different types. I mean, we pull out all our Christmas music. And this morning I woke up and Micah was playing The Chipmunks' Christmas. And not one of my favorites. I can't understand what they're saying. And it's like, okay, what was that? But Micah can interpret. It takes spiritual gifts to interpret the chipmunks. So, but do you have a favorite Christmas song? Anybody? Little Drummer Boy. On the Toll. Oh, Holy Night. That one, every year, right? You just can't get it. Any others? Candlelight Carol. It's one of Brenda's favorite. She's been telling me about it for 3 years. I'm going to actually sing it finally on the 18th. And so if you ask me to do something long enough. Mary, did you know? Grandma got ran over by a reindeer. Yeah, that's dangerous in my home because I have one grandma living at my home. And in January, I will have a second grandma living in my home. Because we're expecting our first grandchild in January. It's getting kind of exciting. Yeah, babies all over the place. It's great. Anybody say one that I missed that you really need to say? Mary, did you know? Away in the Manger. Rocking around the Christmas tree. Did I say it right? Rocking around the Christmas tree. Yeah. All types of them, right? We could go on all day, but there's probably some point to why I asked that question. So last Saturday, it's just a little CD player thing, and most of the teenagers nowadays, it's hard to find CD players because everybody just uploads and downloads and whatever loads their stuff, but we have a CD player, and we got our new CD player up, and the reason we got a new CD player is because Murphy ate the last one, puppies, at least the power cord, he ate the power. So we got that, and we turned it on, and the song that came on was Grandma Got Ran Over by a Reindeer, right? And it was like, oh my. Fortunately, my mom was downstairs at the time, so she couldn't read anything into those unfortunate lyrics that came through the speaker, because that would have been bad. But then the next 3 days, Micah keeps playing it. And then he keeps noticing that presents are missing from the tree, right? Oops. But when you think about it, what makes for a good song? What makes not just a Christmas song, but a good song? I mean, for one thing, grandparents' lives are not threatened. Probably that's probably a good thing for a good song. And this morning, we want to talk about that. We are going to look at the first song of Christmas. And no, it wasn't the song sung by angels to shepherds keeping watch over their fields by flocks in the fields by night. That type of thing. It wasn't that song, but it is an excellent example of what a truly good song is. And we find this song in Luke chapter 1. Verse 46, and I'd like to read this song for you, verse 46, and it says, "And Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy as he spoke to our father, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever." These words arose from Mary's heart as she walked into her relative Elizabeth's home. And Elizabeth confirmed to her what God was doing in her life. And she couldn't help it. Just this rejoicing came from her. You think about this young lady. Who all the pressures of being pregnant and not married and being pregnant by the Holy Spirit. I mean, all that just kind of trying to deal with all that and walking this home and Elizabeth affirms in her that she was carrying the Christ, and just this joy came from her. And it wasn't just her joy for what God had done, it was for what God would do. And in this, the first song of Christmas, Mary teaches songwriters and Christ followers alike a little bit about what makes for a truly good song. That's what we're talking about today. But more than just a song, but a truly good life. What do we see in Mary's song? First, Mary's song was saturated with Scripture. Mary's song was saturated with Scripture. The words that Mary chose to express her praise were filled with Old Testament concepts and phrases. In fact, it's been cited by those who have studied this deeply that Mary cited some 12 different Old Testament passages when she sang this. In fact, Mary's song is similar to what the prophet Samuel's mother, Hannah, sang after she was blessed with a child that she earnestly prayed for. And I'm going to just take us back there to give us some background to Mary's song. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 1 through 10. This is Hannah's situation. All these years before, and Hannah prayed and said, "My heart exalts in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth derides my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. There is none holy like the Lord, for there is none beside you. There is no rock like our God. Talk no more so very proudly. Let not arrogance come from your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by his actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty are broken, but the feeble bind on the strength. Those who were full have hired themselves out for bread, and those who were hungry have ceased to hunger. The barren has borne 7, but she who has many children is forlorn. The Lord kills and brings to life. He brings down to Sheol and raises up. The Lord makes poor and makes rich. He brings low and exalts. He raises up the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with princes and inherit a seat of honor. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and on them he has set the world. He will guard the feet of his faithful ones, but the wicked shall be cut off in darkness. For not by might shall a man prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Against them he will thunder in heaven. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his king and exalt the horn of his anointed." Wow, is that how you reacted when you found out you were pregnant? Boy, these ladies can, man, powerful stuff they can come up with. See, in these songs, not only do we see Scripture, but we also see the character of the moms. We see the character of the mothers who wrote them, who spoke them. It's so important. Mary knew Scripture, but the Scriptures also found a home in her heart and life as well. They were not just teachings that she had heard. They were the roadmap that she chose to follow. Today, where it seems that godliness is not valued. More and more, unfortunately, we see that godly, Christ-like character matters less and less. To God, it couldn't be more important. Mary's praise came from a mind full of his word, but also a life full of integrity and purity. And so her song received a welcome place in the heart of the Father. Because it's always been about the heart. You know, sometimes we need to be careful what we welcome into our hearts. Teachings and ideas and beliefs and entertainment, even songs. Even Christmas songs. Boy, there's one Christmas song that I have to, whenever I hear it, I have to shout out a different word. It says, "As the fates allow." And I always have to say, "As the Lord." I don't know if you realize the fates is mythology. And sometimes we just receive these things into our hearts and we don't even give it a second thought. We just receive them into ourselves and it changes the way we think. In fact, there was a recent sermon that was preached in the United Kingdom, and so they're kind of messed up over there, you know. My grandma was English, so I was waiting for my mom to get mad. But no, they a sermon that was preached in the United Kingdom just a couple weeks ago. And it was based solely on one preacher's interpretation of ancient religious artwork. He preached a sermon about who Jesus was, all based on a painting. And the incredible thing about this is that this sermon, he completely changed who Jesus was in every way, based on a painting. Could you imagine doing that with some of the kids' things your kids have drawn? That's what they, out on a basic painting, and the leadership of this particular church in England, they said it had validity. This was a valid perspective of who Jesus was, all based on a painting. See, we have to be careful what we receive into our hearts. Whether it's your favorite show or your favorite song or your favorite sermonizer, you have to be careful what we allow into our hearts. And we need to take Mary's example and realize that all things are best when they are saturated with Scripture. Second thing about Mary's song is that it reflected true blessedness. Mary's song reflected true blessedness. Some 30 years later, Mary's son would announce to the world what a blessed life really looks like. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. What's the next one? Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the sons of God. Daughters too. Blessed are you when you are persecuted for righteousness. Blessed are they who are persecuted for righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for the same way they treated and persecuted the prophets before you. Jesus would say that on a hillside in front of thousands of people and tell them, these are the blessed. Mary's song reflected the same thing. In verse 48, "For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name." Then we move to verse 51. "He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty." The first Christmas song reminds us that the person who gets the most presents, who has the most power, who receives the most praise from people is not the truly blessed. Because true blessings do not come from presence and power and the praise that people offer. True blessings come from God. And I don't have to let you know, God is not impressed with pride. God's not impressed with pride. He honors humility. James 4:6, you knew I'd get James in here somewhere. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. The words of Mary remind us that in the midst of abuse, in times where the powerful seem to be getting away with all kinds of evil, when injustice is more common than justice, there is one who is not fooled. And he promises to make all things right and rectify every wrong. See, we don't have to live life frustrated when justice and right do not prevail in the moment. You know what? I have a sense of fairness and justice in my being. And I get really frustrated when things aren't, when justice isn't done, when I see injustice. And Mary's song is telling us, don't get frustrated by that, because it may not be working out right now, but it will. Mary exalted in the fact that God was not blind to the disregard of his law, nor neglect of his love. So we need to know, like Mary knows, that God is working out his plan. You hear me? God is working out his plan. And even now, God is in the process of humbling the proud and exalting the humble. Oh, but Pastor, have you been watching? I don't need to watch. God is in process of doing that. And it was reflected in Mary's song. Number three, Mary's song was filled with faith. You had to have caught this. It's amazing what she said. And his mercy is for those who fear him. He has helped the servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. And he spoke to our father, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever. Now let me ask you a question. As Mary proclaimed this song, what was the current state of the people of Israel? I mean, were they free? Had God's promises to Abraham been fulfilled? Were the arrogant defeated? Were the oppressors, the wealthy Roman masters, had they been scattered? No. In fact, the only thing that had really changed was that two women who were very unlikely to have, very unlikely candidates to have babies, were both pregnant. That's about the only thing in Israel that had really changed. In fact, Mary had to be taken on a journey to Bethlehem because of that same oppressive Roman government. Nothing had really changed. And yet, look at the faith she pours out. We read Mary's song. That's not what we see in her song. What we see in Mary's song is her faith that the Messiah was on his way. No one had to tell her that. She could feel it. And she would for the next several months, right? And through her life. She knew it. You know what a good song does? It reminds us that where we are and what we are going through is not the end. Tamara this morning said, Rick, you got to hear this song. She brought her phone in to me. It's called Build a Boat. If you haven't heard it, you need to listen to it. Because it's one of these type of songs. You see, a good song recharges our inner person. It declares life to what was dead. It pronounces the possibilities of a miraculous God into every cell of our being, in every circumstance we face. In a word, a good song increases faith. It speaks to something deeper than what we feel and we see. In fact, in verse 46 and 47, Mary responded to the working of God, and she didn't just do it with her heart and her mind. She did it with her soul and her spirit, which was different from what Hannah said. Listen to this again. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. And so because of this, Mary was able to speak words about what had not yet happened as though it had. You see, Mary was able to speak things that had not happened as though it had. Because faith rising up in her told her that it would. Man, we're afraid to do that sometimes. Could you just start saying, God, I believe that my loved one is going to come to you. I believe it in Jesus' name. Well, what if he does? Well, you know what? You can live in the realm of doubt all your life if you want to. Or you can live in the realm of faith and let God take care of it. In my life, I've spent so much time in doubt. It's just a nasty place. There's nothing positive there. Do we have doubts? I'm not saying you're a bad person. What did I say? I've lived a lot of my life in doubt. Wondering if not. But what if I just take some inches to the other side? And actually, it's not even a move. I just have to stop looking this way and look this way. And Mary said, you know what? I could live into... Oh, did Mary have what ifs? Joseph hasn't even said he's going to buy into this yet, okay? She didn't even know what's going to happen. She could have lived in this realm, but faith rose up in her. And she said, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. You live where you want to, but I kind of like it over here better. And you'll get those ropes pulling you back to the what if. Because even if the what ifs happens, I'm going to face them with faith. Even if the bad happens, I'm going to face them with my Creator and with my God. Did Mary have bad stuff happen? You better believe it. How many of you have watched your 33-year-old son crucified? But her faith, this is where Mary wanted to live. That's where I want to live. Because Mary had the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. Hebrews 11:1. The first song of Christmas was prophetic, it was hopeful, and it was a song full of faith. And it is the same message that we need blasted into our soul and our spirits today, so that faith may arise in us, that we may know, as Luke 1:37 says, nothing is impossible with God. And we will, if like Mary, we too are, number four, centered on God. Maybe you noticed this the first time we read Mary's song, but just in case, let me go back and let me highlight this again. For he has looked on the humble state of his servant. For he who is mighty has done great things for me. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble state. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his, if I say it too fast, you're going to think I'm laughing. He, right? That was a bad dad joke. I can't help it. He has helped his servant Israel. Did you catch it? It's about he. It's about. But how much of Christmas is about me? Did you get what? They used to ask me every time when I was a kid, did you get what you wanted for Christmas? That was the first question. Did you get? Usually it was not enough, right? Or I got it and it wasn't good enough. How much of life is about me? What about me? When do I get mine? And then when everything is about me, where is he? When you stop and think about it, Mary's song really wasn't about Mary at all. It was a whole lot of good to do about God. Man, Mary was just fixated on this God of hers. Man, I tell you, if someone ever says, you know what, you just talk about Jesus too much. Sorry, but it's about he. In fact, the only time that Mary talked about herself was in verse 48 and was to highlight what God had done. You know, life is so much more simple. It's just simplified when life is about him. I mean, you think about it. If the world could all, if we could all, it could all be about him. In fact, most of the trouble we get in and most of the evil in our world comes from people thinking about me instead of he. I mean, it happens all the time. It can even happen in the church and with Christ followers. Listen to what James is going to tell us today, and he'll tell us later, sometime in January or February. James chapter 4. What causes quarrels and causes fights among you? Ask that to some children sometimes. He took my toy. He ate my candy. What causes fights and quarrels among us? We want to say, well, that is just childish. I have heard some adults in church, in annual business, not here, don't. I have heard some adults in annual business meeting, I want to like you, I guess, are fighting over your toys. You sound like little children. I didn't say that out loud because I was a youth pastor and probably wouldn't have been a good thing to say. What causes quarrels and fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and you do not have, so you murder, you covet and you cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. Paul wrote this scripture. It's in, I believe, 1 Corinthians. It says, why not rather be wronged? Why not rather be cheated? Because that's what Jesus did. What causes it? All of this fighting. We want me, me, me. And I have an idea. How about we try to make it, all of it, about him? How about we remove ourselves from the center and be centered on God? How about we come to church and we hear a song and it's not your favorite song. Maybe you don't even like the song. You go, I'm not worshiping today because I don't like that song. Tamara sure better get her act together. And you don't know Pastor Rick actually picked that song, you know, and said, would you do this? No. How about you just come and say, you know what? I can connect to Jesus to anything. I'm sorry, folks. There are people in chains in third world countries being whipped and beaten, and somehow they find a way to praise. And the pianist is not playing their favorite song because the song isn't there. The song's in here. We are so comfortable. I am so well-fed and tucked in compared to so many of my fellow brothers and sisters around the world. I don't even know it sometimes. I'm oblivious to it. How about we just come to life and go, it's about him? Weeks ago, I came up with a saying that I still don't like, but it's helping me. Interruptions are a part of the plan. How about I go, God, it's not about my agenda today. It's about you. How about, God, it's not about whether I get mine. It's about you. See, because it changes everything. If the whole world could come together under one banner of love of Christ, it would change everything. But let me just simplify that. If the church of Jesus could do that, let me simplify that more. If this church can do that. Oh, let me simplify that. Your family. Stop making it about me and make it about. And I guarantee you, when we go make it about him, then making it about everybody else is just natural. It's a beautiful idea, and it's actually what heaven will be. Revelation 7:17 says, for the Lamb at the center. For the Lamb at the center of the throne. Listen to what happens when the Lamb's at the center. He will be their shepherd, and he will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Now, maybe for some out there, making God the center is difficult because maybe we have yet to come to know God as Mary did. You see, Mary knew him as mighty, but also merciful. Mary knew him as holy, yet also compassionate. Mary knew him as strong, but also generous. When we know him for who he is, when we believe in him, it doesn't take long to go, this is the best offer by far that I have to make him the center. I want to close with this. There was a song written way back. You know what's really scary when you get to an age where people start mentioning times that you lived in as way back? Like when people talk about the 80s like it was the 50s. I'm like, well, 50s, that's when my mom, That's when my mom was born. 1959. No, that's a lie. Sorry, Mom. I owe you a dollar. Like, people start doing that, right? Well, way back in 1998. That's 25 years ago. How'd that happen? Way back in 1998, there was a song that was written by a man named Matt Redman called The Heart of Worship. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. And this is what it is. And it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the things I've made it. It's all about you. It's all about you. Some of you are like, well, we don't sing that song around here. What's okay, now, it's not about that song. It's about you. You see, today isn't about songwriting. Some of you are disappointed. I'm not going to write songs. I don't even like the. It's not about songwriting. It's not about worship music. It's about the heart of worship. It's about the center of our lives. You see, the greatest call, the greatest part of Christmas is that Christmas calls us back to Jesus. Take the music and the presents and all these beautiful decorations. As hard as you guys work, it's not about that. Christmas is a call back to Jesus. Christmas is an invitation, not just to more parties. It's an invitation to return to the holy. It's an invitation to come back. And you may be have been a Christian all your life, but every Christmas God is speaking to you. And I heard this song when I was a teenager, and it just said, is your heart a manger? Is there any room for him? I probably mention it every Christmas because every Christmas that song comes back to me saying, Rick, is your heart a manger? Has it been filled with all the ministry things you have to do, all the tasks you have to do, all the things you have to do for me? Can you open up your heart and let me? That's what Christmas is. I want to tell you a story. Tamara, you can come. I want to tell you a story. And this time, this really is the end. This is just part two of I'm ending. Because I want to tell you a story, what it can be like when Jesus is invited to be the center. There was a mom who was trying to teach her son piano. And it wasn't going really well. He was getting frustrated. And so she decided to, she heard that the great Paderewski, isn't that a great name? Paderewski was coming to town, and he was this great concert pianist. And so she went, she bought two tickets so they could go and watch this great pianist, thinking this will, you know, change her son. And so she, I don't think she did a good job, because she put him in a tiny little tuxedo and made him go to, like, how many kids are like, thank you, Mom. Yeah, this makes me want to play the piano more. Put him in a tuxedo, little tuxedo, got him to the auditorium where Paderewski was playing, and there was this amazing grand piano, this giant ebony black ivory key Steinway concert grand piano, and it was up there on the stage. And the little boy, being, you know, playing piano, so I never seen a piano like that. He just looked at it and went, whoa. His mom started visiting with other people before the concert, and he was like, wow, that would be so amazing to play that piano. That's like my puppy Murphy. He thinks that way too, and then he eats it. And you know what happens, right? The kid, he just couldn't resist. He didn't know etiquette in the auditorium. So he goes up to the piano. He begins to play chopsticks. Can you play chopsticks? You know how to play chopsticks? Dun, 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 dun. No, it's okay. Begins. You don't know how to play chopsticks. Tamara. We'll get back to the mood. Come on. I don't know how to do it. Okay, is there a child in the house who can come play chopsticks? All right, we'll keep going. Back to the mood. Dun 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 dun. All right, where am I at? You're in church. Stop goofing around with your wife. All right. So he begins to play chopsticks, and people are they're in shock. They're abhorred. They're aghast. Whatever word you, they're just like, oh my goodness. This beautiful piano's up there. This little kid, he's cute in the tuxedo, but he's playing chopsticks. And people start shouting, get down! Quit it! People are getting mad. Paderewski's in the back getting his tie. And he notices, he hears the uproar, so he goes to the stage and he sees this little kid, undeterred. Man, those kids, wasn't bending to it. He kept playing chopsticks. And so Paderewski starts coming out on the stage. And everybody's like, phew, finally, someone's going to stop this nonsense. And Paderewski comes up behind the kid, and they're waiting for him to pick him up by his little tuxedo. Paderewski, it would be cool if I could do this, but I can't. He leans down behind the kid and starts playing. And he whispers to the kid, keep playing. Keep playing. And as he plays, Paderewski starts doing this incredible improvising this beautiful melodies and harmonies to go along with chopsticks. And he keeps whispering to the kid, don't quit. Don't listen to them. Listen to me and keep playing. I really want to know what happens at the end of that, but I couldn't find it. But I'll tell you what probably happened. Those people who were shouting that kid down a few minutes ago were probably embarrassed because someone greater than them had showed up and proven the kid wasn't all wrong. Folks, when we make Jesus the center, he's not only the center, but he surrounds us. And he turns our childish efforts, our mistakes, the very best that we can do, but to some it looks like it's not enough. And he turns it to the melodies of heaven. And others around may mock. Because you are surrounded by the arms of your Father saying, don't listen to them. Keep playing. Don't quit. Because I'll be with you always, even to the very end of the age. Mary sang a song, the first song of Christmas, to remind us, saturate your life with Scripture. Remember what true blessedness is. Be filled with faith. You can live there if you want to, but move over here. Let your life be centered and surrounded. Lord Jesus, I thank you today for your holy presence. I thank you for speaking so many times in my ears. Don't quit. Don't give up. Keep playing. And maybe there's others today that at different points in our life, we just need to hear the encouraging word. But I leave us with one question today for each one of us to answer, and nobody else can answer because no one else truly knows. I ask you this question. Who is my center? Who is my center? Lord, today I renew my life to you again, as it seems like I do on a regular basis. Lord, be the center of my life. Make my life an open manger to receive the Christ again. Lord, today I hear the invitation of Christmas to the holy, and I enter. I hear the call to Jesus. And I choose you this Christmas. And maybe you're here today, you've never chosen Jesus, or you're here today and you've strayed and from the path. I want you to know, Jesus is always calling back to us with the same statement he did to the disciples, follow me. And it's a simple turn of events. You either follow something else or yourself, or you follow him. And I want to encourage you today to follow Jesus. You can begin that process by saying a prayer. It's not all about a prayer, it's about following him. But you can say that process by making a confession, saying, Jesus, I've sinned and blown it. I've walked away. I've been following another person or another thing or myself. But today I choose to follow you. I'm asking you to forgive me of my sins. Come into my life. And if you make a decision like that, God hears you from heaven. And he takes you seriously. And he calls you to be his own. I'm so thankful for a God that doesn't ask for background checks and references when it comes to becoming a part of his family. He asks for a heart that chooses him, and each of us can do that. Lord, if anyone's done that today, I pray your hand upon them. Bless them with your presence. And if you have done that, I want to encourage you to talk to somebody about it. I'm going to invite deacons and their spouses, a couple of them, to come forward today to pray with you. If you have any prayer needs today, we want to be able to meet with you and pray with you. And so I'm going to invite them to come forward. God bless you. Thank you for being here. Wednesday nights, we're rolling for a couple more weeks. So we want to encourage you to be a part of that. And thanks for coming.